I am more than your idea. I am tangible, touchable, a human being like you.
That was Michael Castro, St. Louis's poet laureate. And he is responding to the death of Michael Brown and the year since in a new poem called We Need to Talk. And I'm Nancy Fowler.
And I'm Willis Ryder Arnold. And this is Cut and Paste. And we're going to try something different for this podcast. We're going to share things that didn't fit with our original assignment, which was going back and looking at a year's worth of the arts in the wake of the Ferguson protests and the death of Michael Brown.
So these are things that people said that came out of those interviews, but also went beyond them. And we wanted to make sure that they were heard. We talked to six people in the arts, a musician, a theater professional, a visual artist, and a mover and a shaker in the arts world, and also Michael Castro. Here he reads the rest of his poem.
We breathe the same air, want the same things. We need to talk. I am more than my skin tone, more than the weight I bear, more than the clothes I wear, more than who I sexually prefer. More than my accented speech. Hear me. We need to talk. So get out of your closed mind. It's claustrophobic in there. Thoughts fester if they can't expand. Let's meet. Get out of your car. Come into the street. Let's discover each other on common ground. We need to talk. I say, take off your armor. Put away your gun. Don't just stare into your smartphone. Hello, or as they say in the East, Namaste and Savati. The God in you honors the God in me. We need to talk.
So how does poetry add to this conversation?
Well, actually, I ask him that. And another thing I ask him is, in doing so, aren't the poets just speaking to the choir, pretty much? And he said, well, you know, these words are not being heard by just the poets and the people that appreciate them, but each person has like a sphere of influence, you know, in their own community, in their friend group, in their family. And, you know, if they're inspired by the words of another poet or even learn to express something in their own words, they will take that, you know, to the people they know, and that might change the way somebody looks at a situation.
It's interesting that Michael Castro talks about spheres of influence, because that's one of the things that Brian Owens was most concerned with. He compares himself to the rapper Tef Poe and says that they have very different musical styles and different approaches, but they're both trying to get people involved in the community. Should we take a listen to that clip?
Absolutely. I'd love to hear it.
Tef Poe and I, you know, like we're like definitely polar opposites in a lot of ways, but we're both in our own way trying to help a community see something. And I can appreciate that even though we're very different, you know, I run into him like, you know, a couple different times, you know, where I'll see him like, you know, we need to grab lunch, we need to sit down and talk. And just realizing that, you know, Tef and I are very different, but I think inevitably what we're trying to help people see in our music is very similar. It's coming from a similar place, right? And I think that could be true of a lot of artists in St. Louis who are, you know, just trying to help people see what's going on, deal with what's going on, maybe provide a soundtrack for hope and healing through what's going on. And I think that if we as artists can keep our focus there, I think we can do a lot more good. I think the times of just like, I want to be in the entertainment industry so I can make a bunch of money or be famous. I mean, it's like, that's kind of, it's overdone, man.
So that was Brian Owens talking about how he's trying to engage people in the issues surrounding Ferguson and how he feels different artists have chosen to shift the focus to social justice issues and not just themselves. Another artist who's interested in those issues is Damon Davis. He's known for pasting photographs of raised hands around Ferguson and areas in New York and LA as well.
A lot of us are very self-centered, and I'm probably no different in certain settings, but I also think we got an obligation to speak for the people. So if that's what I'm going to be remembered for, or that's what I'm going to be labeled, it's really not much I can do about it. All I can do is keep doing work that reflects what I'm thinking about and where I'm at in my life.
Listening to Davis, I wonder, has it been a struggle to remain dedicated to the work when he's getting so much publicity?
I think that it hasn't been hard for him to remain interested in the work. What seemed more difficult when I talked to him is ending up in certain like fine art situations that seemed very removed from the protests, where the people around him were interested in the artwork, but not necessarily interested in the messages that people had to say.
Yeah, it's sort of an interesting dilemma.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't know how you're supposed to make socially conscious art that then becomes qualified as fine art without in some way risking a loss of message.
Talking about messages, you know, Damon Davis has also spun his work off of the Hands Up, Don't Shoot, which were supposedly Michael Brown's last words, and a new group called Alliance of Black Art Galleries really seized upon that and really quickly after Brown's death organized just a massive art show called Hands Up, Don't Shoot. And Frieda Wheaton, who has a gallery in her home known as Salon 53, organized not only the group but also much of the exhibition, but it turns out that she's an artist herself.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. So she created a piece that's dedicated to people who are left behind when someone is killed by violence.
I did a piece myself for this exhibition called Mourning in America, spelled M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. And that is a mixed media collage piece that contains a vintage fan, vintage black gloves and lace and cotton and with decorative items on them, as well as a brooch. And it also includes texts from both the Book of Common Prayers and from a Jewish Book of Prayers, Mourner's Prayers is actually called. And also a part of the street map showing Canfield Drive is also included in that piece. And I just felt moved to create it because we also have to think not only about the immediate and direct victim, the person who has died, but we have to think about the families. And in particular, when a mother has to bury a child, a son. So it was a tribute to Mrs. Max Spadden and all of the mothers who have lost sons, particularly through law enforcement, but through any other means as well.
And where can we actually see that piece?
We'll have an image at stlpublicradio.org in our podcast story.
So Frieda Wheaton really went after some very specific imagery related to Michael Brown's death and the subsequent protests. I spoke with Dee Nichols, who has been out as an organizer and as an artist, and she really talked a lot about the different visuals that artists have embraced in the last year. Everything from kind of simplified imagery to hashtags.
I think there are graphics that are used that get to the subject more quickly, where you don't have to read into the artwork. Is very apparent what we're stating in these works. I think there's an increase in typography usage in the works partially because of the social media element that goes along with these. So everything has a hashtag. And so with the cakes, there's hashtag unveil the prophet and hashtag sticky note to self, hashtag this, hashtag that. And so that comes up visually in a lot of the works.
So from what I understand, a lot of her work is about sharing the work of others?
Yeah, she definitely shares the work of others and produces work that is easily shared in return. Her hashtag sticky note to self project is all about making notes that people can share.
So another artist that I talked to kind of echoed that idea of sharing. Lee Patton Childs, who's a playwright that wrote the play called Black and Blue, which will play again this fall. The play is about sort of the historical and also the present conflict between law enforcement and African American communities. She said she is just one of many artists that kind of have an obligation to share their work and create work, especially at this time.
I think it's a job of all of the arts, visual, performing, whatever. I think it's their job to touch and change the world, to comment on what has happened or what is happening, and make people think.
That was Lee Patton Childs, playwright, talking about artists and how their work is so crucial right now. And so I wanted to ask you, listening to all these clips, Brian Owens, does he have a particular, like a favorite song, a meaningful song to him that he's created in the past year?
The Sound of Music comes to Ferguson this weekend.
I think that he was really pleased with the album Preach that he released very soon after these protests began. He said that it was something that had been in the works for a while, but was very much about addressing social issues and how people can be more socially responsible.
So it sounds like, from hearing all these people too, that Ferguson has definitely changed the arts. And, you know, makes you wonder, so have the arts changed the issues around Ferguson? I guess that's something we'll just keep exploring, right?
Absolutely. I think that it's one of the things that we'll keep doing, both in our regular reporting and as part of this podcast. I'm Willis Ryder Arnold.
And I'm Nancy Fowler. And this has been Cut and Paste. Outtakes from some of the stories that we've been working on, and if this works out, we'll do this kind of cut and paste again.
Cut and Paste is produced by Nancy Fowler
and Willis Ryder Arnold,
with help from our editor Donna Carando. The music you heard throughout was produced by local musician Eric Hall. The podcast can be found online at stlpublicradio.org, or you can subscribe to the podcast using iTunes or other podcast services. If we had just a little